Arr, Grog.
Hey everyone, it's a Sideship Podcast with me, Peter Fickling, Carrie Warbis and Matthew Weir. It's the three of us together. It feels like months, but in fact, it's only a couple of weeks. How have you both been?
It's a whole year, Peter.
Yeah, it honestly feels like that. I mean, I've moved house. I'm now coastal elite like Kerry is. Well, and Matthew.
We're all on the edge of something.
On the edge. but Peter, how has the move gone? You know, in brief, do you feel like it's your home? Are the boxes diminishing and you've actually got objects around you?
Well, as you can tell, I managed to find the microphone and the computer. So, no, I mean, let's put it this way. It seems like a good decision. It is odd to be, as I sort of predicted, to be in a kind of, it's incredibly white here. It's very, very white, as is, I think, most of England, statistically, most of England outside of London, you know, the big cities, but yeah, it does feel. But apart from that, I mean, you know, that's not a negative thing necessarily, but yeah, it's really, really lovely, very happy. And also incredibly tired all the time because of the fresh air.
Have you been to the beach much?
No, because the weather's been shit. And as you said, boxes, more boxes.
Okay.
Yeah, more boxes. Yeah. I have been about as adventurous as Tony this week in terms of venturing out and doing stuff. What about you guys? What crazy news have you got?
I think my craziest news today is that I was chatting on Twitter with Robin Asquith.
What? As of a horny window cleaner fame?
Yeah. About the Archers.
Matthew was worrying last week about, not worrying is the wrong word, Matthew was querying our demographics on Acast last week. And I think, Kerry, you've just absolutely nailed it.
I know.
For people over 45, Robin Asquith is a bullseye.
You've got your academics, your feminists. I've been chatting to Robin Asquith on Twitter and I'm really happy about it. He, Elizabeth Elias, she tweeted that Eric sounded like a 70s Lothario, complete with 20 Dunhill habit and one of Prince Harry's necklaces, she said, in a Robin Asquith 70s styley. So she tweeted that. Then Robin jumped in himself and corrected her spelling of his last name because she'd put it with a Q, but it's not, it's with a K. And I asked him if he listened to the Archers and he said he doesn't at the moment, but he was brought up on it.
This is amazing on so many levels. I love the fact that he's got his name on Google Alert with different spelling variations.
Yes. Yeah. So I was well chuffed with that. He lives in Malta, I think, at the moment. And he's apparently in something current called Madame Blanc Mysteries.
Are you sure it's not Madame Bonk something? Yeah. It was Robin Asquith.
It ought to be. But anyway, that tickled me today. I was right happy about that.
I mean, never has any man made three facial expressions go so far.
I heard him interviewed on something on late night radio a couple of years ago, and he was an absolute star. He was really, really cool. Some of the people he knows and some of the stories he has are incredible. He was, I think it was something like Pinewood Studios. He was filming a movie at the same time that they were filming the first Star Wars. So he was down in the canteen with Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill and all of those guys when they were on breaks. He's a really cool guy.
That's what, for me, that's what I've just accidentally watched some more Star Wars. It's shit. And it's, you know, it could definitely do with Robin Asquith or Barbara Windsor.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Yeah. I mean, I love the Bless This House film. Anyway, we won't go on about him, but I actually already followed him personally on Twitter anyway. But for him to pop up in the Cider Shed tweet along thing was great.
Oh, that's going in the Warbis Hall of Fame alongside Jimmy Somerville and the person he nearly knocked boots with, Lemmy. Yeah.
Let's get him on.
Well, that's why I asked. I thought if he says, actually, I do, I was like, come on here.
Get him on anyway.
So I'll keep trying. Yeah,
absolutely.
I'll do my best.
So let's chuck an advert in and come back and talk about Leonard.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So I obviously love Leonard. I think he's amazing. He's a ray of sunshine in a world of, what's that bloody woman's name again? Yeah, well, that's what I think of her as. Jill, that's Jill. I've got to say that credibility was stretched a bit this week, wasn't it? That one minute he's able to, with nothing more than a YouTube video and a stick of Yoohoo, get a guitar working, and then suddenly he's leaping all over Lillian's precious clock.
Yeah, it's like anything he spies that is slightly broken, he'll sort of, give that ear and I'll have a little look at that.
Is that the core of a dying star? Yeah, give that to me. I'll give it a little see if I can get back into it. Yeah,
I just think if his wife had carked it earlier, imagine all of the pivotal events in Ambridge that just wouldn't have happened because Leonard was there. He would have caught Nigel falling off the roof with a massive blanket. He would have probably been there to lift up the tractor and not crush John to death like Superman.
Oh my God, Matthew, we're living his Groundhog Day. Leonard,
exactly.
Is still, yeah.
The only thing I thought, maybe the flood. He could have constructed a giant straw, sucked it all up, ran up to the top of Lakey Hill and spat it all over Darrington.
The one thing that I think he needs to fix and hasn't is Jill.
Yeah.
Is there a metaphor there, like the one you just said?
Yes, that thing.
That's his eternal damnation, is the only thing he wants to fix he can't, and he can fix everything else.
He doesn't want to fix her. He's got no idea. We want him to fix her, don't we? Because he's still oblivious, I feel, about her.
It's. I don't know why we're ever looking for credibility in the Archers, but it is beyond belief that he and Jill are a kind of happy, functioning couple.
Yeah.
I mean, because the scene that was missing, I think one of you mentioned this while I was away, was... It was Leonard saying to Jill, come on now, that's bang out of order. You need to sort it out. You know, it just doesn't seem plausible that a man that gentle and nice.
There's another
say...
step missing though, isn't there? Yeah. Because I don't think he knows what she said to Ben.
Okay.
But that's a little bit similar, yeah, and running parallel with that, you've got the Elizabeth Vince thing as well, haven't you? The fact that Elizabeth has never really truly told Vince what happened to Ben, maybe you've got Leonard walking around, he knows they had a falling out, but he doesn't know what happened.
It's annoying, this program, isn't it?
It is. I mean, Tony was not happy to see Leonard, was he, at the beginning of the episode on Monday?
Oh, no.
And now they're best mates.
They're going to fix Lillian's clock. And there was that moment where he accompanied Tony, didn't he, to try it. Tony basically came out of the closet and said he hated the guitar to Lillian, which was very, you know, him just trying to get over all of this emotional stuff. And Lillian's reaction was, what do you mean? Of course you love it. You wrote a note that I found in a field that we don't even know was written by you. And Leonard was there going, we thought you could keep it in the family. At that point, I thought Lillian was going to, like, what the f*** are you doing here, Len? Why are you here?
He's always popping up in the most unlikely places.
I think they're happy tears. Are you still here, Leonard? Like, Jesus Christ, we're having a one heart-to-heart with my sister here.
Do you think that Leonard heard Tony say, oh, no? Because it seemed he was within hearing distance, but it didn't.
But that's a recent thing that really gets on my nerves, because there was, sorry to sort of go all over the place, but there was one of those in the shop where Jim did a big aside while Justin was talking to Rex. It's like, he's only standing there.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like when you told Madeline that you had an acting award Peter, and Kerry just went, "Oh God."
That was Kerry was, that was laughter with me, not at me, Matthew.
It was affectionate.
Oh, award for one of us is an award for all of us. In the, you know,
best,
in our,
in best nativity, yeah, spider in Swindon.
Oh, Matthew!
No one has done a better fanny squiz than I have.
Oh dear.
Robin Asquith probably has,
and Kirsty.
Yes. Apart, exactly, yeah. So what are we? I did.
We're moaning about Tony and Leonard.
Yeah,
yeah. But when Lillian started, sort of, you could tell that she was setting the scene for this clock thing going dreadfully wrong. But again, what can it possibly develop into? Do we even care? Is this just, is it just there so that Leonard and Tony can become best buddies?
And, I think, you know, so. It's that. Yeah? Yeah, it's for them two to get together. Also, on this topic, he's going to bequeath the guitar to Mungo, isn't he?
Yeah.
Which seemed to set Lillian off into tears. And I thought, probably wrongly, I think bequeathing only happened when you were dead, and I got all hopeful. So he's going to sort of top himself to hand the guitar over.
It was also that moment where Lillian said he'd be delighted to get that from his great uncle. And I was like, which way are we using that adjective there, Lillian?
We got the news that Mungo's about 5'4", aged, you know, 3.5 years old.
Yeah.
He's this kind of great big lump. Mungo play guitar. Yeah.
Which film is there a Mungo in where he's like a massive creature? Is it a Mel Brooks one?
I'm thinking the Goonies. Oh, yeah, you're right. It is. That's it, yeah. But I think he's like, anyway, he's like Mice and Men meets the Goonies meets Mel Brooks, yeah.
So the guitar thing, also sort of the whole thing about smashing it behind a door and someone fixing it with glue. I mean, that wouldn't happen. None of that would happen, would it?
Okay, so that's not done. Bollocks.
Yes.
But the one thing I liked about that at the end was that he said, I'll need some very small screwdrivers. And Tony's like,
yeah,
oh, I can do that. We can work on it together. And I was really hoping Leonard would just say, no, Tony. Just me.
Precision screwdrivers.
Yeah. Because Tony was dealing with the derailment when...
Yes, he was.
When Leonard rocked up, wasn't he?
I mean, even saying that, I was laughing my head off when he said, oh, you know, I'm dealing with the derailment. It's like... it's this tiny thing that's the size of a bloody toothpaste tube or something. And he calls it a derailment. He really lives in that world, doesn't he, of the
Wouldn't
tiny
you,
drains.
If you were married to Pat.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Forgot about that.
He's probably imagining Pat is on the train that has derailed.
He derailed it.
Yeah, he's f***ed with the rail.
Yeah, because I think you've hit on something there, because it's not actually the hobby itself that's so worthy of contempt. It's his total, it's his total kind of commitment to it. It's like, you know, he nothing is as important to him as his stupid rail set, you know, apart from the occasional tractor. But it's very, very odd for, to, you know, to be that obsessed with a, you know,
yes,
fictional world.
Yeah.
Says Peter.
Says all three of us on an Archer's podcast.
What is this, episode 94?
Hang on, let me just get my precision screwdriver out here.
Hey, I've got a tiny precision screwdriver for my glasses, the hinge on my glasses. But the thing about that is there's a flaw because you have to take your glasses off to use the precision screwdriver on the hinge and you can't see the screw because you haven't
I've done
your glasses
this.
On.
Yeah, I did this. Yeah. So what I did was I took a photo of what the screw was and then put my glasses back on and looked at the photo to see which type of screwdriver I needed.
I know, but to use the screwdriver on the hinge. Anyway,
oh, I went with the feel.
You can edit that out, love.
No, it's all right. I just, you know, thank God you've got two keen-eyed children downstairs to sort you out. No, you and your Kerry doesn't even know she's in the care home, Matthew.
It's nice here.
It's my glasses again, yeah.
It's funny though, because I have to keep cooking all the dinners. It's really weird in this care home. Don't think that normally happens, Kerry. Does it?
Well, you know, so solidarity, yeah. I'm in the same sort of care home as you, unfortunately.
Are you?
Yeah. I have to do all the catering.
Oh, but Tony did do a good thing, I thought. When he, I know this is skipping slightly to the Lee situation, but
I'll go for it.
Yeah, he, when he said to Lee, maybe Mabel and Evie don't actually want to go to California, and have you spoken to them? And I mean, Lee went off on one immediately without properly gauging the whole situation and the details. But I thought, yes, Tony, that could well be true.
Yeah.
What a good thing to say.
I'm sure you've had the equivalent where, like, you know, I've had, one family in particular I know who moved to Australia, and the eldest one stayed in the UK because all her mates were here. And it didn't matter how shiny and amazing the life in Melbourne was. It wasn't the, you know, the dog and duck and sitting on the green having, you know, a litre of white lightning. She wanted to stay with her mates.
Yeah, and the girls may well be saying, yes, Mum, that sounds lovely, because they're with the mum and they don't want to say no to her. So I did think that was a really pertinent comment.
Yeah.
I thought there was that interesting in that conversation where Lee was saying, you know, I need to stop them going. And Tony said, well, I'd feel the same if they were mine, of Mabel and Evie. And then I thought he was going to say, but if it was Tom and Helen, nah.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry. Helen's going to be on air later to illustrate exactly why we wouldn't mind if she moved in something else.
Let's just put this out here. Helen hates his kids.
Oh, she's absolutely awful, isn't she?
I just thought it was her being just insanely selfish.
Yeah.
You know, I did try and think about it a bit. I did try and fight through this, like, and try and be a bit more rational. But he has been, you know, as far as we know, he's been an incredible stepfather or father figure to her two boys, and a very supportive partner to her as she's wrestling with some demons. She should also be quite sympathetic of the fact that, you know, what it's like to sort of worry about custody of your child when there's a slightly errant partner, you know, floating around.
Yeah, I mean, if Lee wants the girls back, Rob's pretty good at a kidnap, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Just have she could just have a word. Say, look, you know, you can't have Henry and what is it, Henry and what's the other one called, Jack? But you can have these two.
Yeah, you're really right, Peter. Because he like they poignantly said in they mentioned or Lee did he was going to read Jack a story, wasn't he, in the episode?
Yeah.
So they're really close. He's been there completely for the boys. He loves the boys. And I just kept thinking with Helen, like, okay, turn the tables. If you were saying to Lee, oh, God, you know, could the boys live with us? He'd go, yeah, of course they can.
So hang on. Can we now back up what I just said, that Helen doesn't like his kids?
Yeah, definitely.
I felt like that was shot down. Hey, what do you think the note was that Pat included in the jumper that she sent back? Because they don't ever come to this house again. I reckon the jumper was ripped into shreds as well. Yeah. It'd been in the furnace. This is what happens when you leave it under my bed.
Yeah, because even that, Helen sounded a bit miffed that the jumper had been left. I don't know, it's probably her tone is quite awful all the time, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it ended on a lighter note though, didn't it? Because it was just about Lee thinking about dessert and condiments, because apparently Helen said, you've planted the idea of custody in his head.
Oh.
No, girls.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Helen and custard, though, you've got to be careful.
Exactly.
They did try and have Helen say, oh, well, you know, it's just really difficult, and it's probably, Jack and Henry would probably love to have them there. It's like, no, you've got... This life is difficult, Helen. Surely you of all people should know that. You know, not everything can be. You know, if you're committed to this man, surely you know that you're committed to his children as well.
He was really pushing her for an answer, wasn't he? He was like, of course I need to ask you first before I even run it past the girls, and you know, I need to know whether in principle you would be up for this. So he was putting her on the spot a little bit, and it would have been weird for her to sort of go, I need a week to think about this, really.
My comments are not about Helen's behaviour this week. It's having watched her for years, and it's like yet another example of her putting herself first and not really considering anyone else. If it was, if I'd never listened to The Archers before again, I would 100% be thinking, here's the story of an erratic man and his long-suffering partner trying to deal with some rather, headstrong behaviour.
Yeah, it was interesting how he had to sort of go, even in principle, and she went, even then she was hesitating, going, reluctantly said, yes. And then the minute she spoke to someone else, was it Tony or was it was Pat?
She just went,
I don't want to do this. This isn't what I planned.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to defend Helen, but maybe you could make the argument that that was her just being honest to someone who she trusts, and actually she's got a chance to come back from it and, you know, do the right thing. I don't know. It feels wrong. So
yeah, she might do that. She might well do that. Here, Ryan early retweeted a tweet that I did about the Lee situation. So I put, let's hope Lee doesn't go all, and then inverted commas, kidnap the children and go on the run in a white van off grid.
I think he's definitely going to be dressed as Spider-Man and scaling the Houses of Parliament within a week.
Really?
Because Peter Bowker put that, because obviously he's got the little dollies that are all Spider-Men and things like that, hasn't he? So it would tie in.
Oh, yeah, there's a link there. I had it more, I don't know, I had it more that he's going to kind of, there's going to be a police cordon around the Am. And he's going to be holed up with his two daughters up there. I mean, I did look ahead, and Paul Gascoigne is in the cast list for next week. Yeah,
chicken basket
with his fishing
and
rod. Idea. Amazing. But I thought, if Ryan Early, who plays Lee, in case listeners don't know, retweeted that, it's either because there's something to it, or he just thinks, what a load of rubbish that I've tweeted. But yeah.
Well, I can't think of a single Ralph Moat pun. Never mind.
There was that thing years ago, wasn't there? What's your Ralph Moat name? And it was the name of your hairdresser and your favourite military fortification.
So what would yours be then?
Unless he only has his haircut once every 10 years. So, you know, how's he supposed to remember?
Gustavo... Spike. I don't know.
I'd be Ollie Trebuchet.
There you go. Gaz is on his way, Kerry.
Don't piss off Kerry. She'll be coming for you with a decomposing cow. That's a favourite
piece of
medieval. Yeah. Oh, well, you're self-loading the trebuchet.
Yes. Oh, what larks.
So... it was a bit, I mean, it was in one of those setup weeks, wasn't it? They're kind of getting us lined up for this, you know, there was the clock thing, was obviously, you know, that's going to be rumbling on for a while. The whole Lee thing, we're going to be stuck with that for months. I mean, maybe even a good way. I mean, it might be quite interesting, and you can see why it's actually a current topic. I mean, you know, the whole BBC, you know, remit, blah, blah, blah. There might be some genuinely useful stuff that falls out of that. And then, of course, we've got, which sort of started last week, Justin the Salesman. Where the hell is that going? Because I thought this might upset Matthew, which is never my intention, that we might have Jim getting, you know how he used to have those competitions with Robert Snell?
Mm-hmm.
It might get a bit Robert Snell and Justin with who's trying to be the best salesman, or kind of like Glengarry Glen Ross, but with Jim. At the village shop.
That's exactly where we've ended up, isn't it? Instead of Jim and Robert in the bird hide, we've now got the two of them behind the counter, and they're just going to go one against each other. I mean, Rex came in for what was it he came in for originally?
Just floor cleaner, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he left with a second mortgage in the end, didn't he?
Yeah.
And a bottle of Chenin Blanc. I did. I absolutely loved it when Jim started trying to talk Eric out of buying red.
He's like, "Oh yeah,
actually, all our reds are fucking awful. You could have just gone, what? What are you doing, Jim?"
Yeah. Oh, I love Jim.
The whole baking soda and vinegar thing is a pile of bullshit, by the way. So
I wondered that when he said it. I thought, is Justin totally bullshitting here? It sounds like one of those things that that Mrs. Hinch would say, the cleaning woman.
Lots of people say that you should use it, but it's effectively the two cancel each other out. So vinegar or baking soda, but not together. Oh. Anyway, it's very, very tedious, but, you know, true.
Well, just have a wooden floor, just like we have here. And then if you drop something, you clean it up and it's done.
Yeah, well, this is, we're trying to explain to Cyrus how carpets work. He's not getting it.
I don't know. It's,
yeah, it's like, yeah, my precious boy. No. Oh, f***. There we go again.
Yeah. That's the reason pubs don't have carpets anymore.
Well, but, yeah, I mean, just in the shop, serving people still feels very odd.
A desperate shopkeeper trying to flog stuff to keep his head above water seems sort of like, you know, charming or understandable, whereas Justin doing it as some kind of predatory game, like, I'll see what I can rinse out of these poor bastards. It was just, I don't know, bad taste.
I reckon, like, he's going to have one of the, you know, those hot dog things that you have in cinemas where the hot dog is going round on a rotisserie. I reckon next week he's going to have the mice from the mouse traps at the back going round in those. Would you care for a mouse? Mice in a bap?
Eventually he's going to be like one of the corner shop owners in London where they're doing the stock market whilst not even making eye contact serving you. And there's a whole kind of row of kind of almost out of date chocolates from Eastern Europe surrounding the <dinner.
laughs> gone slightly white on the top.
Yeah. While I was away, you two read out a comment by me about how Matthew and I have been accused of sounding alike and how Eric sounds just like us. Kerry, how do you control yourself every week listening to our honey, deep tone voices?
Well, you have both got beautiful voices, but they don't sound But they don't sound in any way alike, I wouldn't say.
No, but I mean, Eric is very much a soundy likey for us. I mean, I just wanted to take a little bit of time for myself because you two had it last week, just to say I am a big fan of that man and I'm hoping he's coming back. He's a very relaxing presence to listen to.
Mm.
Just like the way that he horse whispered Rex and calmed him down, just didn't get flustered no matter how, you know, antsy Rex was getting.
What's going on here? Why have we been robbed of an Eric and Jakob in the same week?
Mm.
And what is the purpose? Is it that he's just come in to give Kirsty
one
fun, for want of an expression, and to make Rex realize that here he should be nicer to Toby, and also to make Kate realize how much she loves Jakob? I don't know. Why did we not get the two of them together? It feels like something odd happened there.
Yeah, it does.
Like something hit the cutting room floor. I get the whole idea of him, but stay another week, have Jakob arrive, have whatever dynamic they have together. Everyone wants to hear it now. But he did tease that he would be back, didn't he? And he also said that he has a mate in Felpersham.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe we get that again, but I did feel that was an opportunity lost.
Also, strange way to leave by leaving a note.
Oh, it's so Eric, who we've only known a week. I mean, I thought he was going to... I really thought on Sunday's episode, he's going to get the bloody gack out in a minute and offer Rex a line. That was the next thing I was waiting for, but it didn't happen, did it?
No. The sort of opposites of him, you know, Eric wanting to kick back, neck loads of wine, move the furniture around, and Rex going, no, the coffee table belongs in this square metre of floor and don't... use Jakob's wine and stuff. I thought, yeah, it's very polar, isn't it?
Mm.
And actually they did bond a bit. But I just thought Eric didn't make me feel relaxed or anything. I thought, oh, you're a right arsehole. Don't treat your brother like this and don't make Rex feel like that. I was more on Rex's side than I was on Eric's.
I would 100% agree with you if it wasn't a sibling relationship. Like, it's not, I don't think it's fair to treat your sister or brother badly, but I do know how, you know, you can be, not dismissive is the wrong word, but you can be kind of maybe a little bit more thoughtless with them than you might be with other people. Not that it makes it acceptable necessarily, but like it's not 100% malicious. You know what I mean? Like you wouldn't treat a friend the same way as you might treat a sibling, just because you've been in the bath together, you've punched each other in the face 1,000 times. Like, you know, it's a different kind of relationship.
Yeah.
It's not a full-blooded defense of him. I'm just saying, like, it did.
No, I take your point.
Yeah.
Is there still something to come here, though? Because Jakob's away, and Jakob extends his trip as far as we know. He's gone off to France now to meet
some woman,
some horse expert woman in France. End comment there. And I just feel the problem for me is I watched There Will Be Blood again about a week ago, and you know that Daniel Day-Lewis's character in it shows up one day and a guy claiming to be his brother has arrived at the house, and they get on for a long, long time, although as much as he can get on with a brother, that character. And then one day he mentions something to him about the neighbouring town or the neighbouring ranch and the local nightclub, and the brother just doesn't react, and then he realises he's lying, and then it turns out that he befriended the brother when he was dying and then stole a note from his sister saying, "This is your brother, and help him and support him because you're a success," and then knocks on Daniel Day-Lewis's door. And Daniel Day-Lewis throttles him and buries him in the oil well, doesn't he? And I reckon Jakob's dead, this character, Eric, has killed him and is operating his phone and is just sending Kate messages going, "Yeah, my brother's coming." I reckon he's gone into the rookery, found all of Jakob's banknotes, because, you know, Jakob, famously fastidious, as Kate said, everything will be filed. He's found it. He's cleaned out his accounts. In about a week, Jakob's going to show up and go, "No, my brother wasn't coming."
Oh, Matthew, I love this.
Yeah, Brett, he's there sort of, "I will see you, all your milkshake wrecks."
I remember seeing an interview with Daniel Day-Lewis before I saw what There Will Be Blood. And they said, "What do you think the overarching effect of this movie will be?" And he went, "I'll never have to pay for a milkshake again in my life."
There's a really good sort of slight horror film as well that's similar to that, where two kids go and stay with their grandmother. They're sort of palmed off by their mum to stay with the grandparents for a bit. And it turns out actually the people who've been looking after them, they're not the grandparents at all. They're some nutters.
Are you able to give any more weight to this? Is this why we don't have a film review podcast yet, Kerry? What's the name of the movie, for God's sake?
I know. I was thinking it. We literally just watched it the other day with the kids because I seen it a while ago and I thought they would like it.
I like Kerry's more enigmatic. Film, don't know, with Kerry.
I'm no Barry Norman.
There's the next Patreon.
Kerry Norman. It's called The Visit, I think. Something like that. Yes, The Visit. So, f*** you. I know what it's called.
Right.
I do have a prediction. I think that in a year's time, we're going to have Kirsty saying, you know, ruefully, "Well, I tried to go with two steady men and look where that got me. I guess I better settle down with Eric. At least it'll be fun."
Or there's a little Eric.
Oh, that could be quite good. And he does seem to be a man of a certain age. Like
He said he wanted to settle down, didn't he? He said he needs to. He's come to a point where he wants to settle down.
And unlike Toby, he actually ends up staying with the mother. It's because it's basically Toby and Pip again, isn't it, if that happens?
By the way, where did Rex say Toby had gone? Because I thought he'd gone to Stratford. But then Rex said he was somewhere else, didn't he?
I thought it was Lemmington's for the wine business. But anyway, you know.
No, Rex said something else. And I was like, hang on.
Too much of both of your brains is clogged up with all this stuff. Just do what I do. Just forget about it. Don't bother. All nonsense.
Forget about it. Someone on Twitter said that... Oh, someone's speeding past there. that
if you're going to have background noises, can you at least show us the courtesy of making them sound like farts? Otherwise, it's really not fun.
That wasn't me. That was Kerry.
That was me.
That was Kerry. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Same as you, Kerry. If you can have background noises, make them sound
like... I've been expertly muting every time a bus goes past tonight.
Oh, well done.
Oh, I never use mute. Sorry. Someone said on Twitter that there seemed to be two characters in The Archers next week go in the middle of the night to London.
Or has Jenny had an accident?
I don't know where the hotel is, actually.
Yeah, Jenny gets a panicked call from Rory. He's chained up in Julianne's sex dungeon. And as she arrives and she gets down into the basement to save Rory, and it's like Kathy Bates coming up behind the sheriff in Misery. She shotguns her from behind on the steps. And James Caan is there going...
It's like we're inside one of Matthew's dreams after he's had a massive block of cheese.
Yeah, I should say. I mean, I did have like a hefty bunch of edibles before we started this. So,
yeah. The edible forest.
Oh yeah, in a sense, yes.
Oh great, good.
So, talking of train journeys, we had to listen to poor Brad after his adventure, his trip to Oxford. I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? It's all set up this week. That seems fairly final to me. There didn't seem any wriggle room in that message. It does. It did seem very odd and unlikely that a teenager would send the wrong message to the wrong person.
No. That is a classic thing that you do.
It's awful.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I thought that was... Yeah, it's on purpose.
Yeah, that's awful.
I've had to clean up Harvey Keitel in Pulp Fiction style, somebody who sent a message to the wrong person. I've been there when they've done it, and then they've gone, oh my God, what do I do? Because they sent one about somebody to somebody. And in the old days of SMS, that was very easy to do for some reason. I think WhatsApp, it's a little bit more, the sensation of it and seeing the face and stuff in the profile picture, you're less likely to do it.
Well,
and I like, I'm just completely chilled. It's not my shit, but at the same time, I was just like, no, we can sort this. All you need to do is message back straight away and say like, so what do you think? And then pretend like it was a whole big joke. And then they did it. And they're like, oh my God, it worked. I was like, yeah, just do that every time. It'd be fine. But not in this case.
I did feel for Brad, you know.
Kerry, do you think Matthew should start a YouTube video as a love guru?
Yes, a dating expert.
No, I don't think I can do that.
Dating coach, maybe.
Okay.
Do you like motorbikes? You sound like one.
Run.
Oh, dear. I felt for Brad very much. I thought, oh, that minefield of, you know, checking out your outfit, going out on that day. He was so nervous. He thought it had gone well. Oh, do you not care about him, Matthew?
I'm still laughing about the motorbike.
Oh. Yeah. I think he'll be all right. I think Chelsea really looked after him, and that was nice.
She was a fantastic sister, wasn't she? And the other thing was, I originally, when that whole thing started, I was like, they don't know they were born. It's so easy these days. You get instant feedback on WhatsApp. I remember waiting days because, you know, you couldn't even call someone's house because of their parents, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and all of that stuff. So, yeah, we were all waiting for kind of, you know, sometimes even snail mail if you'd met someone at a party or something. You know, my God.
I mean, I carrier pigeon. Smoke signal across Bristol, maybe. I remember one relationship fell apart because I went downtown to meet her. She was an hour late, called the house 2 minutes after I left to say, tell him I'm getting the bus in an hour. I waited for 45 minutes and was just like, well, screw her then. I just went home and that was it. And when I got home, my mum was like, oh, she said she'd be at the Hippodrome an hour late. Well, that's all done and dusted, isn't it?
Yeah, there must have been so many like that, mustn't there? Yeah.
Well, if you watch, like, even early 90s sitcoms, like, well, maybe not Friends because they're a little bit, well, maybe early Friends, but definitely Seinfeld, there's so many storylines where things fall apart in various places because people aren't talking to each other. They can't contact each other and the whole sequence of events. get displaced.
90% of Columbo episodes would be over in 3 minutes these days.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
I mean, I should say at this point that I did have an emotional, like, relationship with a page when I was about 13. So, yeah, it was page 76 of Razzle.
Hey, Matthew.
Oh, come on. Ignoring the joke, you're better than that, Matthew. Razzle, come on. You're not a Razzle.
Club International, sorry.
I did once meet a photographer who told me, drunk in Soho, who told me very proudly that he invented the Razzle pylon, which, if you don't know what it is, it's not that bad, but it's also not worth looking up. But it's basically a particular pose that was in vogue in some very tacky magazine, porn mags, back in the day. Right. And I just remember looking at him thinking, oh my f***ing God, you're boasting about that.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to say that I don't think I ever purchased a copy of Razzle.
Well, it's out there. It's on the record. Matthew Weir, Razzle Cam. But yeah,
there you go. That's my dating channel's name.
But do you know, it'll be better than what's on my gravestone anyway. I've got absolute miserable failure.
Do you reckon if Nolatandu comes back to Ambridge, that Brad might be interested?
Kerry, this is not a mistake. That's me hitting the table with excitement. You've done it, Kerry. You've nailed it. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. She's a smart, attractive person. He's a smart, attractive person. Boom. They're both interesting. Lovely.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad you're happy.
Well, hang on. How old is Brad?
I don't know. Are they about 20 years in age difference?
Nolatando has to be early 20s, right? At least.
No idea. I asked the other day on Twitter how old Lee's kids were, and Peter Bowker said something like 35 and 42. Yeah,
but it's confirmed that they're teens, aren't they?
Oh, no, Nolatando was born in 2001. So the age difference is not that huge.
Ah, excellent. Well, there you go. That's that sorted.
Okay, I can slap the table again. Brilliant. There you go.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Brad is Chelsea's younger brother.
Yeah.
So what is he? Let's imagine he's 16. Well, he's just finished his GCSEs, isn't he? So he's 16 and she's 20. What would she be then? 21, 22? Not going to happen, is it?
Oh, sorry. That's a shame.
In a couple of years, maybe, yeah. But right now.
I had another sort of slightly excellent theory that probably you're blow to pieces as well. You know, Stella being very persuasive about the disc drill.
Yeah.
Do you think she's, as Justin's plant, is trying to financially stretch Brian on purpose?
Oh, I don't know if she was going to stretch him, but I think she might go behind his back to the board and go, look, he's being a right curmudgeon about this disc drill. Let's overrule him or supplant him. I think,
you know, 150k, someone excellently put on Twitter, wouldn't you just lease one of those because you're going to use them like once a year?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, obviously it's a farm tech ad, isn't it? The fact that they're going, oh, well, we could, you know, I'm sat here and I'm like, why do I really care that they can like make installments of payments on a disc drill? And Defra will give them a 20,000 grand. I was like, I'm actually quite invested in this. Go Stella.
I don't want to be the cruel voice of reason here, but talking about dating in the 80s, porn mags and sort of like, you know, out-of-date music, that's very much our wheelhouse. Actual farming equipment knowledge, we really probably should just shut the f*** up.
Yeah. True. I've heard trebuchets are really great on farms, apparently.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Trebuchets, old music. Yeah, that's us. We got.
I mean, Brian is a dab hand at that little trick where you make your own phone ring whenever you don't want to talk to someone, though, isn't he? And he literally just says,
Hello, darling.
Oh, yeah, hello, darling. Oh, sorry, seller. We'll talk about this enormously expensive thing you want to buy another time.
Yeah.
But he ended saying he would consider it. But it's been gnawing away at a lot of people about that dinner or lunch that Stella and Justin had a long time ago.
Yeah.
Where she said, thanks for the tip off. And he said, oh, I'm sure you'll do well. So people always still think that she's a are just in plant.
Yeah. They sow these seeds, don't they?
No, yeah, no farming jokes, sowing seeds and plants involved. Well, you could do that with the new drill, but three times as fast.
Isn't machinery called plant as well?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. So if anyone wants to join in the scintillating farm equipment chat, Kerry, online, where do they go?
It's as hot as my film explanation.
Hang on. Shouldn't we have the second ad first?
Oh, go on then. All right. It's thank you, Matthew. Much appreciated.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Matthew, thank you very much for that. A more professional podcast would now make an effort to go back and correct all that and tidy it up, but we are a long way into this podcast, so we're just going to slide straight to Twitter. Kerry, take it away.
Yeah, at the Cider Shed Pod is where to find us on Twitter, and Robin Asquith is there as well, which is quite appealing. We're 78 people away from 3,000 followers. I cannot wait for that to happen. Maybe it'll happen around our 100th episode. That'll be nice.
Whenever that is.
Well, yeah.
Because we totally miscounted the numbers. We skipped two numbers, didn't we?
Mm.
Possibly my fault. I think Peter's guilty for one. I'm guilty for the other. We went one number two ahead.
Oh, anyway, it's a number of podcasts. We've done a number of podcasts. We've done a lot of podcasts. Yeah. And
we've seen a lot of stuff.
Oh, well, dear. It's do you know what? I was reading something by accident the other day. It was about, if you want to get into podcasts, and almost everyone said the most difficult thing about doing a podcast is actually just sticking in there and just churning them out. Like, you know, making one easy, making 90-something, a lot of effort. So Matthew, if people want to follow us on the Instagrams or the Facebooks, where would they find us?
Oh, Instagram. Hang on. I just got to let this motorbike pass.
I love the way that Matthew sounds like he lives in like an episode of Fast and the Furious.
It's absolutely nuts. Like the traffic going up around the street now is insane.
When you move house, can you pick somewhere where there aren't any streets?
Yes. Wow. Yeah, I'm going to try. Yeah. I'm going to just move to a shed.
Countryside.
In the middle of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be retarded.
Instagram's been popping off. We're up to 640 followers. We're on 99 posts. So if you wanted to leave us a review on iTunes, a 5-star one, you might be our 100th post on Instagram if you do that. So definitely go over to our iTunes and do that. Cider Shed Pod on Instagram. And one of our most liked posts this week was the fact that I went back and decided to share a 1-star review we got, which said, amusing at times. They can constantly complain about the Archer's characters, the writing and the storylines. It went through the roof. Like the ones where we share ones where we got great reviews, everyone's like, yeah, that's great. Yeah. Everyone absolutely loves this one.
Even Jeff from Ambridge on the yeah, the couch pretty much liked that, didn't he?
Didn't you say, like, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
I have to give a shout out also to people who are having trouble leaving reviews on iTunes. So they have started sending me ones in the DMs. We got one from Liam Rayner, a good friend of the show, helped us with the fantasy football. He said, should win a Tony. And then he later said, I mean a Tony as in an award, not a boring guitar phobe. He came back with that later. A cracking podcast that I've enjoyed since day one. Off-piste crack. Wonder if they're off-pished. A definite weekend treat. Yeah. I don't know what he's suggesting there. Five stars. And
an insult to me. Anyway, never mind.
Yeah, because you're never
off. Peter sounds the most pissed
exactly
of all.
Exactly, was, yeah. So come on in, you two. Get the bloody football MC stuff out of the way then.
Oh, hang on. Before we go any further, sorry. It'll be too late for anyone that's listening, but anyone that's listening to this on Sunday, it's far too late, but you need to sort your team out by Saturday morning at 11. So I don't know why I'm even saying that.
I already know what my team's going to be on Monday.
Actually, well, Peter, some of your team have actually... Oh, I know what I meant to say. This is massive news. A major player joined our league and is winning. They're top of the league. They're called 4-4 Poo. I don't know who they are, except that their name is Nat Ogle, and they are about 100 points ahead of everyone. So the way that fantasy football works is if you registered your team on day one with the league, you can duck in and out of leagues. And this guy has joined ours and is leading. So he's pushed Warbis Dream Team down to fifth.
I don't like him.
He's pissed off. Me down. Yeah, I'm down to 17th. Relegate the Archers is still in 23rd since the arrival of 4-4 Poo. But you have got 28 points this week, Peter, because you've got Grealish. But I must tell you that both of your strikers are injured and don't seem to be, and they won't seem to be ever be playing.
I have every belief in them. I trust him to. I'm not a turncoat like you lot. I don't go. You know, I stand by my boys week after week.
I mean, you've got West Ham a knee injury. Skamaka, is it at West Ham? He's got a knee injury, unknown return date. He's one of your strikers. And Firmino, calf injury, unknown return date. You've got both of those up front.
Week after week. Same thing. I'm perfectly happy with my team and I'm not going
to
change
it. As I stress every week, you've got Marcus Alonso on the bench and he left Chelsea by mutual consent in August for Barcelona and he's no longer playing in the league. But there you go. You're a man. You're a devoted guy and I respect you
loyal,
for it.
Loyal. Guys, what are you up to this weekend?
Watching Arsenal Man U.
House hunting tomorrow morning. I'm on the move now as well, so we'll see. I do have to give a little shout out because we gave everyone a shout out at the beginning of the Patreon special last week. New Patreon, Penny Fletcher, thanks for coming on board. So if you want to support us, go to www.patreon.com. And Penny became a patron last week. We really appreciate it.
So yeah, have a lovely weekend, everyone. We will see you next week. We can find out what Tony's up to. Brilliant. Thanks as always for listening.
See you next week.
See you guys. Bye.
Hang on.